Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now, the Russ Belville Show. Streaming at 620kpoj.com and on the air at AM 620 KPOJ.
This is the Russ Belville Show, the winner of America's search for the next great progressive talk radio star. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the weekend. I'm Radical Russ, your red state refugee, coming at you with political talk for the regular guy, for all of us working class survivors of George W. Bush's America. We're broadcasting from the free speech zone known as America, in the upper left corner, a beautiful little hamlet known as the Rose City, Portland, Oregon. Our phone number here is 866-5577-377. And just want to remind you, we've only got 478 days left in the criminal Cheney-Burton maladministration. Or less, if we could get the Democratic leadership to get some impeachment going on here. How about some impeachment, guys? Oh, well, maybe we'll have to wait on that. Again, welcome to the show. Glad to have y'all here. This is a beautiful, beautiful fall day here in the city of Roses, and just want to give a shout out to all the people who might be driving down the I-5 today, making their ways to the Reeser Stadium or the Autzen Stadium. We got some Pac-10 football going on here in Oregon. We got number 6 Cal. The Cal Bears are coming to Autzen Stadium to play the number 11 Oregon Ducks. Go Ducks. And we've got UCLA coming to Oregon State to play the Beavers. Portland State's out of town there at Eastern Washington. And, of course, the most important college football news of the day, Boise State University beat Southern Mississippi 38-16 to raise their record to 3-1. Go Broncos. Some developments coming up here in future episodes of the Russ Belville Show. You all know that I got here through the Center for American Progress Action Fund. They sponsored a contest called The Search for the Next Great Progressive Talk Radio Star. And winning that national contest is what got me this show. Well, the contest sponsorship is going to be running out soon, and we're going to be transitioning the show from being a Jones Radio Network syndicated show to a local Portland, Oregon show. Keep your fingers crossed. We're still working out all the details. But, this will be keeping on the air if I have anything to say about it, and we're going to keep broadcasting here in Portland. So if you're a fan of the show and you'd like to see the show continue, please get on the Internet, get on the satellite, and call your sisters, and get on the internets, and call your brothers, and the internets. And we'll keep this show on the air. Check out the website at 620kpoj.com. They've got a comment section, and if you just send in a comment, that'll let them know that there's some radical progressives out there that want to keep this show going. I've already got a couple of sponsors lined up as well. If you're a business who'd like to sponsor the show, get some advertising here every weekend on the Russ Belville Show, send me an email at radicalrussell@gmail.com. I heard from a radical progressive from my home state of Idaho, from Burley, Idaho, who is thinking about sponsoring the show. So shout out to you as well. Thank you for your support. I appreciate that. This is a dream come true for me, being on this radio show, and I'd like to continue it. But, like we always do at the top of the Russ Belville Show, we realize that many of you out there, you work a full-time job. You know, you're a working person like me. You don't always have time to catch up on the newspaper or the evening news. So, at the top of the Russ Belville Show, I help you catch up on the week's hottest news topics with
The Week in 90 Seconds.
The Democratic presidential frontrunners just can't quit Iraq.
Will you pledge that by January 2013, there will be no U.S. troops in Iraq?
I think it's hard to project.
It is very difficult to know what we're going to be inheriting.
I cannot make that commitment.
Blackwater mercenaries are caught murdering civilians in Iraq.
Oh, Blackwater, keep on rolling.
The people of Burma protest their despotic government. Getting any ideas yet, Americans?
You most likely know it as Myanmar, but it'll always be Burma to me.
Rush Limbaugh insults thousands of soldiers, but at least he didn't take out an ad.
They like to pull these soldiers to come up out of the blue and stop them.
Yes. The phony soldiers.
Senator Larry Craig just voted against protecting gay people from hate crimes.
Let me be clear. I am not gay.
I never have been gay.
And outgoing General Peter Pace explains why the gays get no protection.
Sex, other than man and woman, is a sin, counter to God's law.
And of course, the president of Iran doesn't have to worry about that problem.
In Iran, we don't have homosexuals like in your country.
And Bill O'Reilly gets himself some great mother-effing iced tea at a black restaurant in Harlem.
MF-er, I want more iced tea.
You heard that story, right, about the Sylvia's restaurant, you know, with Bill O'Reilly?
MF-er, I want more iced tea.
Okay, Bill, okay, we'll get you some more iced tea.
MF-er, I want more iced tea.
All right, here you go. Here's some iced tea.
Kiss my ass, bust the cap on the Moet, because I don't want to hear that crap.
There, will that do? That enough iced tea for you? Goodness gracious, here. Yeah, Bill O'Reilly, if you didn't catch this story, my goodness, yo, you'd think after all the stuff that went on with the whole deal with Don Imus and the sensitivity that we have toward race relations, especially when we're talking about things on the radio. You know, I've been trying to be very circumspect about that, but he gets out there and he's talking about a time when he went out with the Reverend Al Sharpton. Okay, and he went out to this restaurant in Harlem known as Sylvia's. And Sylvia's is a very famous restaurant out there in Harlem. It's a well-known, restaurant. It's a completely black-owned restaurant, and a primarily an African-American, audience that comes in there. And so, well, let me just play for you how Bill O'Reilly reacted upon going to the black neighborhood and going to the black restaurant and realizing he had an epiphany here at the black restaurant.
You know, I was up in, Harlem a few weeks ago, and I actually had dinner with Al Sharpton, who is a very, very interesting guy, and he comes on a Factor a lot, and then I treated him to dinner because he's made himself available to us, and I felt that I wanted to take him up there, and we went to Sylvia's, a very famous restaurant in Harlem. I had a great time, and all people up there, tremendously respectful. They all watched the Factor. When Sharpton and I walked in, it was like big commotion and everything, but everybody was very nice. And I couldn't get over the fact that there was no difference between Sylvia's restaurant and any other restaurant in
really?
New York City. I mean, it was exactly the same.
The same?
You know, it's run by blacks, primarily black patronship. It was the same.
Yeah, it was the same. Imagine that people whose skin is dark can actually run a restaurant. Amazing. And that black people, when they're in a restaurant, aren't asking, you know, for more iced tea.
MF-er, I want more iced tea.
No, they're not saying that when they go to the restaurant. I mean, jeez, what a boneheaded comment that is. I mean, and then he tries to justify it. You know, he tries to justify it by saying, you know, oh, it was taken out of context, and you guys are trying to twist what I said. Now, it's pretty clear there. I played that in its full context there. It's pretty clear exactly what Bill O'Reilly is talking about here. And, you know, this whole situation here where he's claiming that, you know, there's no different than any other restaurant. That's just, you know, just rank. It's that kind of racism that's built out of ignorance. You know, what was he expecting? You know, people, he was going to walk in and people are going to be eating fried chicken and watermelon with their hands. And there'd be, you know, some guy playing a banjo and, you know, who knows what he's expecting out of the Sylvia's restaurant. I mean, oh boy, these right wing guys, you know, these guys on the radio, Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck, he's another one of those guys. You know, when I first started this gig being a talk radio host, I got to thinking, you know, how much easier it would be to be a radio talk host if I could just be on the right wing and, you know, I could just say slanderous things and I could make up facts and, you know, just pull stuff out of the department right out of my ass. You know, what a lucky job that is to have. Those of us here on the left, of course, we have to have, you know, facts and statistics and we back our stuff up. It makes things just a little bit harder, just a little bit harder. Well, coming up here on the Russ Belville Show, stick around. We got plenty of great audio coming up for you. We're going to talk about that Democratic debate that they had out there. And, you know, this Dem debate, some of the things they said just, you know, made my hair curl. curl what little hair that I actually still have left. And, you know, and this, I've heard enough of this already. Oh, that fake Hillary Clinton laugh. That's just going to grate on me for the next 3 months or so, I imagine. The phone number here is 866-55-77-377. We've got the Democratic debate coming up. We're going to talk about the war drums being beat for invading or attacking Iran. We got news from Burma and all of the protests that are going on there. So stick around. This is the Russ Belville Show.
You're tuned to the Russ Belville Show. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. This is the Russ Belville Show, the winner of America's search for the next great progressive talk radio star.
It's 20 after. Welcome back to the Russ Belville Show. Oh, yeah, the subject here, Blackwater. Yeah, that's the private security contracting firm that's out there in Iraq that is been accused of murdering Iraqi civilians. This is a developing story that's been coming out for the past month or so. The situation here is that, first of all, you know that the Mercs, the hired guns, these security firms, these contractors, are making up the second largest force in Iraq. Okay, that's the first thing to just get your mind around, is that the United States Army, we've got 160,000 soldiers there in the field, and then the number two force in size there is contractors. Okay, now not all the contractors are combat positions, naturally. You know, a lot of them may be truck drivers or cooks or whatever, but there's about a 1-to-1 ratio of contractors to soldiers out there in the field. And the first thing that makes this tough is the fact that, you know, these contractors make 3 to 5 times what a soldier would make, sometimes 10 times what a soldier would make for doing the same job. So you can imagine what that does for the morale of, say, your average National Guard truck driver who's there in Iraq, when he turns and sees some Kellogg Brown and Root contractor who's making 10 times the money doing the same job. That's really got to be good for the morale. Talk about support the troops. But this is the thing. These Blackwater guys are out there just running wild, running lawless around Iraq, literally lawless. I mean, because first of all, when Paul Bremer was the viceroy there in the Coalition Provisional Authority, one of the laws that he wrote after he, you know, right as he was going out the door, was a law that said that the contractors in Iraq could not be held to account under the Iraqi laws. And they also apparently don't seem to be held to account under the United States laws. So they're literally a lawless merc force out there. This is kind of scary. And I just wonder, you know, how did America come to be the place that we allow this sort of stuff, that we want to privatize our military operations? It's just disgusting. And you look at all the other things that have happened. You know, we're now the country that tortures. We're now the country that preemptively invades people. What has this country come to? And the lines are lighting up on this. So let's go to the phone lines on this one. The phone's 866-55-77-377 if you want to talk about it. I got Ed in Portland, Oregon on the line. Ed, welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Oh, so far so good. Waiting for some scores from the games, and other than that, talking about this.
Hey, you know, 10 years ago, who could have predicted we would be where we are? That we would have attacked Iraq, a country that posed no threat to us? That we are rattling sabers and even thinking about nuking Iran? It really reminds me of that Aesop's fable tale, you know, the frog in the pot, and the pot, yeah. Water is slowly heated, so the frog doesn't know what's going on. But, I mean, if we could have said if we elect Bush, all this stuff would happen, he'd get 0 votes.
Yeah, I remember, back when Bush was first running, and it seemed like all of our main concern was that he was kind of a dolt. You know, he was just kind of a bumbling dolt, and, you know, even Comedy Central had a show called That's My Bush, which was kind of a satire on him that treated him like a total dolt. And that was our biggest fear back in 2000, that he'd be kind of a dummy. Boy, I wish we had those days back.
Remember Alan Greenspan's great fear was that we'd spend off the surplus?
Yeah.
So therefore we reduce taxes on the wealthiest Americans. I mean, that's his repeated fear. You know, oh yeah, we're going to spend the, we're going to have a surplus. We got to get rid of it somehow.
Yeah, can't have a surplus. Don't want us balancing the books or anything.
Jesus, I mean, healthy days gone by. That's for sure.
Yeah, and you know, think back, you were saying 10 years ago, right? So let's think back to 97 or so, and I seem to remember the big issue in 97 was some intern, you know, in the White House, you know, that was a big deal back then.
Consensual.
And think about this, you know, the whole time and that whole Whitewater and Kenstar investigation was going on, Osama was planning his whole deal. You know, these things don't happen in a vacuum. Osama was planning 9/11. He was getting ready to bomb the embassies in Tanzania and Nairobi.
And so
our president, you know, Bill Clinton at the time, had to take his eye off of that to deal with all that Whitewater distraction, Republican, and think about this too, you know, how the Republicans screamed and screamed about impeachment and the rule of law back then.
Right. And you know, Bush's, if you go down like to the 50th bad thing that Bush has done, the 50th, you know, travesty, it should be impeachable. Whereas Clinton's internship was negligible. I mean, that is absolutely ridiculous, but taking away our rights, wiretapping us, you know, illegally planning the war in Iraq, illegally moving troops from Afghanistan to Iraq, now planning to attack Iran. All these things are incredibly actionable. I mean, he should be impeached yesterday.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you for your call. I appreciate that, Ed. Yeah, the 50th worst thing that Bush has ever done has got to be, you know, far worse than the first worst thing that Bill Clinton ever did. That's for sure on that issue. Let's go back to the phones. We got Jack in Vancouver, Washington. Jack, welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Morning. First time listener, but I've listened to the station a long time.
Well, thanks for joining the show.
Yeah. Well, the reason I'm calling is what I love is all these stupid-ass Republicans that are sitting there yelling, oh, the Democrats are going to raise taxes. Excuse me, who's writing the hot check?
Yeah.
It's not the Democrats. It's the Republicans that write the hot check. If you go back over history, Reagan got us a high deficit. Who came in and cleaned it up? Oh, that's right, the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, on and on and on. You can go back through history. It's a fact. The Republicans.
Absolutely. The way it works is that the Republicans, the Democrats might raise the taxes on the rich people and pay for stuff as we go. Republicans are all about raising the taxes on your grandchildren. They're all about taking the money away from the future. You know, spend now, worry later. That's their situation. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for your call. I appreciate that, Jack. That's definitely a point. And you know what? How are we going to bring America back from the brink here? I'm really frightened about, you know, the future that's coming up here where we're saber-rattling with Iran. I've got audio coming up from the Democratic debate here in the next half hour where even the front runners in the Democratic campaign are starting to say, well, I think we'll have troops there till 2013. What? 2013? A 10-year war? Wasn't this the war that was going to be, you know, not 6 days, 6 weeks, I doubt 6 months? Remember when Rumsfeld said that? Or remember when they were saying how this war would pay for itself with Iraqi oil revenues? Remember those wonderful days? Now we're talking about a 10-year occupation? I just can't believe that. And why are these three front runners, you know, Hillary, Obama, and Edwards, why are they, you know, backing away from the base? Why are they backing away from those of us on the left, 70% of us now, who want to get out of Iraq? I just can't understand how when we've got the political will of the people, why our Democratic frontrunners won't lead instead of following. We'll be back right after the news break. I'm Russ Belville. This is the Russ Belville Show. The phone number is 866-5577-377.
This is the Russ Belville Show, the winner of America's search for the next great progressive talk radio star. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Radical Russ Belville, I'm all out of bubblegum too, Rowdy Roddy Piper. Absolutely. We're here to chew bubblegum and kick ass on the Russ Belville Show. And if you'd like to be involved and be a supporter of the Russ Belville Show, we're going to be turning this show live and local in the next couple of weeks. And we're looking for sponsors. You can get in on the ground floor. If you're a business that'd like to get your advertising live on the air here every Saturday morning, perfect time to catch all those commuters going down to the football games down at Autzen or Reeser's, give me an email, radicalrus@gmail.com. We'll talk to you about sponsorship. This could be a whole lot of fun and a good relationship for the both of us. Before we left for the break, I was talking about Blackwater, the mercenaries out there. This is the problem. Back on about September 16th, there was a shooting of about 11 civilians in Iraq, completely unprovoked shooting of unarmed civilians. And, of course, this was denied by the Blackwater Corporation. But apparently some of the Iraqi people have videotape of this incident. So kind of hard to deny the videotape. So the Iraqi government then decided that they would suspend the operations of the Blackwater company. They said, that's it. No more Blackwater. You can't work here in Iraq. We got too many complaints. And believe me, this isn't the first time they've heard about Blackwater being a problem running renegade over the people of Iraq out there. So the Iraqi government suspended their operations, right? Well, not quite. After secret negotiations in consultation with the Iraqi government, Blackwater was allowed to resume, its operations in Iraq. The suspension was over, and high-level consultations with the Iraqi government. I think we could translate that as telling the Iraqi government. Yeah, so much for this sovereignty, right? So much for the sovereignty of the Iraqi people. So much for the revolution of the purple-fingered voters all standing up and having a sovereign Iraq. Yeah, so much for that. Absolutely. This is, if this doesn't, help to bring down the Maliki government out there, showing to all the Iraqi people that he's nothing but a puppet of the Bush administration, allowing these murderers, these murderous corporations to roll around Iraq and kill his own citizenry, it's just obvious the problems that are out there. And this whole issue of contractors is something we really, really need to take a look at. I heard the other day on another one of the shows that for every dollar that we appropriate to go into Iraq, every dollar that we put into those defense authorization bills, 40 cents is going to contractors. Yeah, 40% of the taxpayer money, of the $500 billion taxpayer money that we've spent already in Iraq, 40% of that is going to contractors, going to contracting companies. And that's the whole issue here. This is what Iraq has been about the whole time. Money, 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 money. It's all about making a profit. It's all about privatization. When they got in there to Iraq, all of those right-wingers, those neocons, those free market laissez-faire capitalists believed that they could come into Iraq and have a situation that would be all privatized, and it would be their perfect little economic laboratory. They could show all of us darn progressives that the free market would work if you just let it go, if you just let it be free of regulations. And boy, it was pretty free of regulation in those early days in Iraq. Well, we've seen how that's turned out. The people of Iraq are getting electricity, 1-2 hours a day max? They still have poisoned water, the polluted water they can't drink. If I were living in the city and an invading army came into my city and I couldn't get electricity or water, it wouldn't be but a few more months before I'd want to take up arms against whoever that invading army was. We are stuck in the middle of a civil war. We are a bunch of targets out there. And Bush wants to keep coming back to this Al-Qaeda in Iraq, which is only 2%, 3% of the problem that's going on in Iraq. It's a civil war. It's a sectarian civil war. Our boys are just targets out there. Now, back to this Blackwater thing. They've been investigating these Blackwater contracts. They want to find out, hey, what's going on here? And the mustache of justice, that's right, Representative Henry Waxman of California, he's the chairman of the House Government Reform Committee. He is looking into this. He wants to know, what has happened? What's going on here? And the State Department, which is in charge of all these contracts, headed by Condoleezza Rice, of course, is stonewalling. That's right. They're stonewalling the investigation. They sent phone calls and warnings from the acting assistant secretary of state. This is a guy named William Moser, called the American embassy and called Blackwater specifically to tell them that they could not release any information about the contract without the State Department's prior approval, and that they were ordered not to disclose any information about its Iraqi operations. Now, of course, Henry Waxman's not standing for this, and he is starting to tell, you know, Condoleezza Rice that they need to open up, and this is not optional. You know, when Congress asks for information like this, when this is not something you just ignore. This is something that, you know, at least it used to be, we were a country of laws and checks and balances where the executive branch had to answer to the congressional branch. And thank God for Henry Waxman. At least we got one Democrat in there who's willing to try to hold these people to account. So we're going to keep an eye on that here at the Russ Belville Show. We're going to keep an eye on this situation, report back with this whole Blackwater situation. And the saddest thing here, a senior U.S. military official said, and this is a quote from an unnamed senior U.S. military official, probably, you know, fearing that he'd get fired if he was known. And he said, quote, "This is a nightmare. We had guys who saw the aftermath of this, of the shooting in, by the Blackwater guys. We had guys who saw the aftermath. And it was very bad. This is going to hurt us badly. It may be worse than Abu Ghraib. And it comes at a time when we're trying to have an impact for the long term." End quote. Yeah, maybe worse than Abu Ghraib. Imagine that. Imagine that the Iraqi people might be more upset about something that, other than Abu Ghraib. Oh, man. Talk about your whole winning the hearts and minds. Huh? Whatever happened to that? Winning the hearts and minds of the Iraqi people. They'll greet us as liberators with flowers and sweets. Yeah, we're kind of ruining that. You can't have private mercenary firms running around the country killing civilians and expect to win the hearts and minds of the people. It just ain't going to happen. Now, Iraq is just one of the things we're going to have to worry about here. The other thing we're going to have to worry about, of course, is Iran. Yeah, they can't stop talking about we're going to have to go bomb Iran. You remember John McCain talked about that, right?
It's well documented that we have, for quite a long time now, known where the real problem is in the Middle East. And in fact, the president adequately described it as the axis of evil. I guess my question is, how many times do we have to prove that these people are blowing up people now, never mind if they get a nuclear weapon? When do we send them an airmail message to Tehran?
That old Beach Boys song, Bomb Iran?
Bomb, 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 bomb Iran. Oh, man. That was McCain, you know, 2 or 3 months ago. But now, you know, the saber rattling is growing louder. We're getting reports here. CBS News interviewed Condoleezza Rice. And when they were interviewing, one of the members of the CBS News editorial board pointed out that next week's New Yorker is going to contain an article by Seymour Hersh talking about the administration's plans to go into Iran in a military way. And, of course, Rice responded by saying, well, they shouldn't take any option off the table. Yeah, they're rattling the sabers to Iran, folks. By this time next year, I predict, unless something amazing happens with the opposition party here, well, the majority party, unless something amazing happens, we're going to be stuck in Iran. And we've got some audio on that coming from the Democratic debates. And also we'll take another look at Ahmadinejad, his speeches at Columbia University. It's the Russ Belville Show. Stick around. We'll be right back.
This is the Russ Belville Show. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Oh, yeah, we're about to do it again, apparently. Russ Belville here on the Russ Belville Show. Everybody wants to bomb Iran, it looks like. We've heard this story before. I've lived through it already once before. We saw the drumbeat for war for Iraq. We're getting the same drumbeat for war here to go into Iran. Yeah, the Fox News Channel, if you've been catching that, they've had these ticking bomb Iran. They're big. They got the graphics ready. They got all the talking heads coming out and trying to scare us. Oh, Iran is supplying arms in Iraq, and Iran is doing all these terrible things to kill American soldiers. When there's not a single shred of evidence to prove that. Well, you know, they didn't have a single shred of evidence on the WMD for Iraq, so, you know, what the heck? Let's try it again, right? Yeah, the ticking bomb that is Iran. They're trying to say that the Iranians are supplying all these material for the IEDs and the weapons that will kill our soldiers. You know what? We're supplying some of the weapons that are killing our soldiers. We gave a $20 billion arms deal to Saudi Arabia, who's been known to sell those weapons to extremists that are fighting against our boys in Iraq. It's absolute truth. And, you know, you want to talk about the issues here. Iran doesn't want to get involved in any sort of problems with us. And what they're trying to do is to also, you know, they brought up the fact about the Iranians are supplying material to, attack our soldiers, which, like I said, hasn't been proven. They want to talk about how Iran backs Hamas and Hezbollah, the terrorist groups in the Middle East that are anti-Israel. And they also point out how Ahmadinejad has said that, you know, Israel should be wiped off the face of the map. And then they want to conflate that whole Iranian nuclear program, saying that Iran's trying to get the nuclear bomb. Of course, they can't have a nuclear bomb, according to us, because, we get to say who has nuclear bombs, I guess. I guess we get to have them, and anyone we like gets to have them. I'm not that scared of Iran having a nuclear program. First of all, the people of Iran don't really like their government very much. And, you know, with just a little bit of diplomacy and support, you know, we could probably get the people of Iran to change their own regime if we just applied some diplomacy and some politics to it. And we wouldn't even have to go to war with them. But, of course, that doesn't fit into the war plan. That doesn't fit into the profit plan for all the defense contractors and all of Bush's buddies. So, they're rattling the sabers for Iran. And, you know, first of all, the IAEA, the Atomic Energy watchdogs from the UN have told us that they've got no proof that Iran has been anywhere close to building a nuclear weapon. And Iran is saying that they want nuclear power, is what they're saying. And people, you know, some people who are uninformed about this are going to say, well, why the heck does Iran need nuclear power? Don't they have all the oil in the world? Well, no, not actually. Iran is a growing economy, and they're getting to the point now where they can't even supply their own natural gas and oil for their own people. So, yeah, they're naturally looking for a different energy supply. Regardless of all of that, still, we're talking about invading or bombing Iran, and what are we going to invade with? I mean, our military is so broken at this time. What are you going to do, call up the Boy Scouts at this point? I mean, if we're going to Iran, there's going to be a draft. There's just going to be no way around it. They don't have the bodies. And do you want your kids drafted for the Iran war? I mean, the Democratic candidates are already saying that we're going to be in Iraq through 2013.
Will you pledge that by January 2013, there will be no U.S. troops in Iraq?
I think it's hard to project.
It is very difficult to know what we're going to be inheriting.
I cannot make that commitment.
Yeah, so the top three presidential candidates can't even make a commitment to get out of Iraq within 5 years. If we go into Iran, how much longer is it going to take us to get out of there? This has got to stop. The people have got to rebel against this. Take a note from the people out there in Burma who are storming their government compounds there and protesting in the streets. We need to start protesting in the streets, people. We need to start putting some boots on the ground and show them that we're not going to stand for another trumped-up invasion of a country that is not threatening us. This has got to stop. Well, we'll come right back after the break here, and more stuff from the Democratic debate, some amazing quotes from the Democratic debate. Stick around. This is the Russ Belville Show.
You're tuned to the Russ Belville Show, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. This is the Russ Belville Show, the winner of America's search for the next great progressive talk radio star. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
That old Beach Boys song, Bomberan. Bom, bom, bom. There we go.
no. 55 after. This is Radical Russ here. We're in the speed round at this point. We're on the short segment before we hit the top of the hour. So I'm going to save the rest of the audio from the Democratic debate for the top of the hour. And if you want to get involved in the conversation, the phone number is 866-5577-377. But in the short segment here, I'd like to follow up on a story, a couple of stories that I've been following here on the show for quite a while now. I've been warning you about that California Electoral Initiative, where basically what was going to happen is they were going to try to pass one of those ballot initiatives, citizen ballot initiatives in California. This was run by the GOP down there in California, that would change California's electoral system so that instead of giving all 55 of their votes in a winner-take-all vote for president, they would split it up so that the votes were apportioned per congressional district. In other words, they would have made it so instead of a Democrat getting 55 electoral votes, which, you know, California almost always goes Democratic, instead of a Democrat getting 55 electoral votes, the Democrat would end up getting 30 to 35 votes, and the Republicans would get 20 to 25 votes. So basically, they were trying to split California up to attack the base of support for the Democratic Party. And I mentioned this on the show a while ago, and how this was going to be the Republicans' latest plan to steal another election, to cheat, because you know Republicans can't win a fair fight. They got to cheat. Well, good news. Good news here at the Russ Belville Show. That electoral initiative in California looks to be dead. Yes, yes, yes. Apparently, the California Republican political legal hack down there, a guy's name is Tom, I probably mispronounced this, but Tom Hiltach, something like that. Anyway, he apparently is dropping the campaign for this electoral initiative. There was a lot of grassroots support, and I'll tell you, progressives, you did it. You killed this thing. It's beautiful. There was so much uprising in California and so many campaigns against this that it finally lost the support, and it looks like it's not going to go through. Now, even if it had, you know, I was checking out some of the blogs on this, and there was a commenter who made a very good point. I'm surprised I didn't catch this, because I'm a huge fan of the Constitution. Surprised I didn't catch this. But that whole California Electoral Initiative thing might not have been able to go through anyway, because it was probably unconstitutional. Yes, let us turn. Let us turn to the words of the founders. The Constitution, Article 2, Section 1 on the executive branch says, "Each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct a number of electors," etc., etc., etc. In other words, the state legislatures are in charge of how the electors for president are chosen. And a ballot initiative in California goes around the state legislature. So, you know, if the state legislature is not picking the electors, then it ain't constitutional. So that ballot initiative probably couldn't have flown past constitutional muster anyway. So anyway, good news on that California Electoral Initiative, but don't sit on your laurels on this one, progressives. We still got a lot of work to do, not only to defeat the Republicans that we're running against, but to try to convince the Democrats to be actual Democrats. Wouldn't that be nice for a change? We come back at the top of the hour, we're going to look at those Democrats and what they've been saying at the Democratic debates. You'd be surprised to hear some of these things that actually came out of Democrats' mouth. I mean, what has this party turned into? And more on Michael Vick and Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly. Stick around.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now the Russ Belville Show. Streaming at 620kpoj.com and on the air at AM 620 KPOJ.
This is the Russ Belville Show, the winner of America's search for the next great progressive talk radio star. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the weekend. I'm Radical Russ, your Red State refugee, and this is the Russ Belville Show, broadcasting from the free speech zone that we call America. I want to give a shout out to all those commuters driving down the I-5, making your way to the football games. Yeah, we got the number 6 Cal Bears going up against the number 11 Oregon Ducks, and the UCLA Bruins going up against the Oregon State Beavers. You know, a Bruin is a bear as well. Isn't that interesting? They got two teams in the Pac-10 that are called the Bears. Well, Anyway, that's neither here nor there. We were talking about in the last hour the Democratic debates and what was going on with that. I've got some audio from those Democratic debates that we're going to get to. But a story that's kind of flying under the radar for a lot of people is this story out in the island there of Burma.
You most likely know it as Myanmar. But it'll always be Burma to me.
Yeah, Myanmar. Okay, so what's happening out there is they've got a very oppressive government there, and the people of Myanmar have been trying to fight for democracy, and they're protesting and they're storming government compounds, and they're really cracking down hard. There's been killings here by the government, and we're just not getting a lot of it here in our news media. You know, our news media wants to focus on OJ and Paris Hilton and what is the latest bad thing that Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly said, which we're going to focus on that too. But still, this is an issue that, you know, we should be hearing more about. And I've got a caller on the line who's got some opinions on this that I want to talk about, because this is something that I really don't know a whole lot about Myanmar. So let me go to Larry in Salem, Oregon. Larry, welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Thanks, Russ. I'm a blue neck from a blue state.
Right on. Glad to hear it.
I have a friend that married a Filipina in 2000, and this was right during when they overthrew Estrada. Mm-hmm. And she was telling me some of the tactics that were being used to overthrow Estrada. And I was hearing a report today on what's going on in Myanmar and some of the tactics they're using to keep away from the, you know, a confrontation with the police. And they're very similar. One of the things that they used, they had a spy in the Malacanang Palace in the Philippines, and some think was Jamie Sin, the Cardinal Jamie Sin, who's now dead. And they would text messages to leaders in the crowd, who would then organize people, put them on buses, and take them to another place. So when the soldiers showed up, there was nobody there to arrest.
Ah.
And that's kind of what's going on there. And to tie this all into a complex package, because I'm a liberal, I just finished reading Waging Peace by Scott Ritter, you know, who one of the things he says is we need to wage peace the way they wage war.
And for some
tactics.
Of the people, let me interrupt you just real quick for a second. The people who don't know who Scott Ritter is, he was one of the inspectors there and very expert in Iraq and what was going on there, and had warned us all that this was all the WMD thing was totally trumped up. So he's definitely a voice I trust. So go on with that.
Okay, so anyway, he's saying we need to use the same tactics to wage peace as generals used to wage war. You know, you need to have a plan in mind with plan A, plan B, you know, something we didn't have in Iraq, be able to be flexible, which, you know, gets us back to how they overthrew Estrada in the Philippines, and it was a bloodless coup. And it was very well done.
Yeah, we need to be supporting more of these types of activities where the people want to stand up for their own freedom and democracy. I've always said that one of the problems with going to Iraq is the idea that we were going to bring them peace and freedom and democracy at the barrel of a gun. Like, point a gunning at people, say, now you're free. Right? It seems kind of ironic or kind of self-contradictory to me. I've always believed that freedom is something you earn. Freedom is something, freedom and liberty is something that the leaders of a people have to fight for. It's not something you can give to someone. It's something that you have to earn. You have to take it. So I'm glad to see the people of Myanmar that are fighting against this. The latest news reports I've been reading, they've shut down the internet there in Myanmar to try to, you know, control the people a little better. They're expelling journalists. So it's looking pretty bad out there. As many as 10 people have been shot. This was last Thursday, according to some of the blog sites that before they went down, including a Japanese journalist. So we're going to be hearing more and more about this Myanmar situation, I believe, as the next couple of weeks go on. Larry, thank you for your call. I appreciate that. I'm going to move on to the story on the Democratic debates. This was held at Dartmouth University just the other day. And we got some good audio for these debates. And, you know, what is wrong? What is wrong with our Democratic Party? I mean, whatever happened to the Democratic Party standing for progressive ideals and peace? You know, when you hear the leading candidates talk, the Hillary and Obama and Edwards to some extent, you know, I just want to hear, where's the candidate that's going to speak to me? That's going to be the candidate that wants to get us out of Iraq. I mean, you got this quote from these guys. You know, Tim Russert went and asked him just straight up, you know, whether or not we could get out of Iraq.
Will you pledge that by January 2013, there will be no U.S. troops in Iraq?
I think it's hard to project.
It is very difficult to know what we're going to be inheriting.
I cannot make that commitment.
I can't make the commitment to get out of Iraq in 5 years. Now, as I was reading more about this, apparently President Bush has kind of been going through back channels to communicate with some of these frontrunners and cautioned them that they should be careful about what they say about promising to get out of Iraq, because the things you say as a candidate are different than when you become elected and you actually have those responsibilities. So it sounds to me as if these top Democratic candidates here are trying to provide themselves some wiggle room. It seems obvious to me that the Democratic leadership does not want to end this war. They could end this war. We all know they could end this war. All you have to do is not appropriate any more money for the war. It's called the power of the purse. And then the Democrats want to come back and say, well, we don't have the votes and we can't override the veto. So what? Let him veto. Let them veto. Let them filibuster everything. We've got to put their face in front of the American people. Let the American people see day one, filibuster from the Republicans, 2 troops died. Day two, filibuster from the Republicans, 5 troops died. Day three, filibuster from the Republicans, more troops die. Day 25, Bush vetoes something, more troops die. The more the people see that the death of our soldiers is directly attached to the obstructionism of the Republican Party, the better, the sooner we're going to get out of this war. And the sad thing about these Democrats is it's the fringe candidates who have the most sensible things to say. It's the fringe candidates that are all have the bright ideas about how we could get out of Iraq. This is Senator Mike Gravel from former Senator Mike Gravel from Alaska, who everybody is just tossing away as the kooky old man. No need to pay attention to him. You know, never mind the fact that, you know, he was one of the men who was instrumental in ending the Vietnam War and instrumental in getting Nixon out of office after reading the Pentagon paper into the congressional record. This is Mike Gravel's opinion on the situation.
Well, the first thing, you stop the debate by voting every single day on cloture. Every day, 20 days, and you'll overcome cloture. The president vetoes the law. It comes back to the Congress, and in the House at noon, every single day, you vote to override the president's veto. And in 40 days, the American people will have weighed in, put the pressure on those. You tell me that the votes aren't there, you go get them by the scruff of the neck. That's what you do. You make them vote.
Senator, are you suggesting that these candidates suspend their campaigns, go back to Washington, and for 40 consecutive days vote on the war?
If it stops the killing, my God, yes, do it.
And you know, that question there, that whole question and answer session there, also illustrates and puts a light on one of the main problems we got, and that's the Washington punditocracy. This is all of these talking heads, you know, pumpkin head like Tim Russert there, who you could almost sense the gasp in his voice. You mean you want them to stop campaigning? Yeah, we're at war. Let's stop everything until we get this war ended. The gasp in his voice just killed me, this idea that was a ludicrous suggestion for them to stop campaigning, to try to bring our soldiers home, to try to save some lives, to try to save Iraqi lives, American dollars and American lives, that a campaign would be more important to that. That's despicable. That's absolutely despicable. And here's the other problem. You know, so Mike Gravel says something completely sane, says completely, you know, rational for, you know, anyone who's a progressive who wants to end this war. And then they follow up later on in the debate, they follow up by peppering him with questions about his personal and business bankruptcies. Yeah, let's chop down Mike Gravel a little bit more, because he's a human being like the rest of us, that maybe he had some bad situations happen and he had to go bankrupt. You know, Donald Trump's been bankrupt. Lots of people have been bankrupt. And here's the other side of it, too, is, well, I got to take a break. We'll come back. When we come back, I got some audio from Dennis Kucinich, the other so-called fringe candidate, who has something sensible to say about this war. It's 17 after the hour.
You're tuned to the Russ Belville Show, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
This is the Russ Belville Show, the winner of America's search for the next great progressive talk radio star.
Welcome back. It's 21 after the hour. Radical Russ here on your airwaves. Hey, if you like what you hear at the Russ Belville Show, send a comment in to your local progressive talk radio station. That would be 620kpoj.com. Send in a comment. Let them know you like what you're hearing. We'll keep it on the air as long as we can. And if you'd like to be a sponsor for the Russ Belville Show, give me an email at radicalruss@gmail.com. Yeah, the Democrats. We're talking about the Democrats here, the most recent Democratic debate. And, you know, the more I listen to these Democrats and the more I see the just the cluelessness of their political posturing in Washington, in the Congress, and how they're letting the Republicans dictate the agenda despite the fact that the Republicans don't run the Congress anymore. It's just, it leaves you scratching your head wondering, you know, are we living in a one-party state now? Do we just have, you know, the Republican Party and the Republican Light Party? Is it just two wings of the corporate party, like Ralph Nader was always saying? You know, this is the sad state of affairs that we're living in. These are terrible times, and we need a real Democratic Party to stand up for the people. And there's one guy out there, you know, that is, and that's Dennis Kucinich. And Dennis Kucinich is pretty reliable as a progressive. And, of course, as a reliable progressive, doesn't have a chance in hell of winning the nomination. Also probably because he's short. Let's just be honest. It's you know, the politics has a lot to do with looks. But this is Dennis Kucinich responding when Tim Russert asked the frontrunners whether or not we could get out by 2013. Obama and Clinton and Edwards all said, well, I don't want to make any guarantees that we'll be out by 2013. 5 years from now, that they can't guarantee that we would be out of Iraq. This is Dennis Kucinich's answer.
You'll pledge to have all troops out by January of 2013.
By April of 2007, and you can mark that on your calendars if you want to take a new direction.
Well, it's September of 2007 now, so we're going to have a problem.
Well, make that 2009. I'm ready to be president today.
All right, we'll get.
Oh, such a sad little gaffe there. Other than the little gaffe of saying April of 07, you know, a great statement there from Kucinich. Yeah, bring the troops home. This doesn't have to be difficult. And you know, all of these guys that are predicting, you know, oh, well, if we leave, you know, precipitously, it's going to set up a base of operations for Al-Qaeda, and there's going to be bloodshed, and there's going to be a genocide there in Iraq. But remember, these are the same people that predicted that we'd be greeted as liberators when we went into Iraq. These are the same people that predicted that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. These are the same people that predicted that the war would be over in less than 6 months. So why are we supposed to believe their predictions about what happens when we leave when we can't, when we've seen their predictions about what happens when we go in? We're completely wrong. Absolutely. And I'm not the only one here that's upset at the Democrats. Let me go to the phone lines here at 866-5577-377. I've got Sharon in Tualatin on the line. Sharon, welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Hi, Russ. I'm glad you're there.
I'm glad I'm here, too.
I've been emailing our Democrats every day, all of them, since the debate. I'm just absolutely livid. And my question to them is, what happened? Why aren't you moving on this war? I agree with you totally. They should make him veto every single bloody day, whatever it takes. Yeah. I want to tell you something James Carville said. He was taking on O'Reilly a few months ago, which he pretty much beat him to a pulp. But James also said, the good news for our Democrats in 08 is they don't have to do much to win. The good news for the Republicans in 08 is our Democrats are perfectly capable of messing it up.
Oh, yeah. Talk about snatching defeat from the jaws of victory is what I'm fearing here.
And you must give Richardson credit. Kucinich and Greville yes, they say they'll stop the war immediately, but Richardson also said he'd stop it within a year, which isn't too bad.
Yeah, that's right. I had some audio from that, too. I got so much audio today that I couldn't get it all in. But, yeah, absolutely. Richardson's been talking about it. And Richardson's a guy. Here's another guy flying under the radar. You want to talk, you know, they all talk about, you know, one of the things that came out lately, and this was just recent, is Bill Clinton in a speech was talking about how he's questioning Barack Obama's experience, which I have some questions about that too. I mean, what has he done? You know, he's won a Senate race against Alan Keyes. I could win a Senate race against Alan Keyes, okay? So I don't know about that, but as far as experience goes, you look at Bill Richardson, man, that guy's got a resume, you'll fill up three pages. I mean, he's been, he's been a diplomat, he's been nominated for the Nobel Prize, I mean, he's been a governor, he's been in the cabinet, this guy's got the experience, if you're gonna look at him. Him and Biden, there's another guy with some great foreign policy experience, but, you know, each one of them gives me something that just kind of gives me pause. When I look at Biden, you know, he was behind that bankruptcy bill. He liked that whole bankruptcy bill, and I had a big problem with that. You know, when we look at Richardson, you know, he made that gaffe the other day when he was talking about gay, not, you know, homosexuality not being a choice. So, I don't know. I don't know what to do with these Democrats, Sharon.
I'm really worried that we'll lose in 08 if they don't get it together and show that they are adamant about stopping this war.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for your call, Sharon. I appreciate that. Let me go to Mike in Vancouver, Washington. Mike, you're on the Russ Belville Show. Oh, Mike. Yes. Mike, you there?
I'm here.
Oh, excellent. How you doing?
Can you hear me now?
Bonus. Yes. Okay, yeah.
Good deal. Hey, I had to respond to your apologia of the media going after Gravel and the whole bankruptcy business. So a couple things you said that I have to kind of respectfully take issue with.
Okay.
One is that my understanding of his response about the bankruptcy. Yeah, I can cut him. Give him a pass on the fact that he had bankruptcy, but that he stood up there and he kind of bragged about how he stiffed creditors, you know the evil credit card companies and things like that. I think that was a little bit beyond the pale and not something that somebody running for president is not a position they should be having.
Yeah, seems like he could have been a little more repentant or sorry about it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there should have been a little bit of contrition, or at least being neutral, not outright bragging. Oh, I stiffed these credit card companies. You know, yeah. Here I ran up all these charges on their dime and I got away. You know, he kind of made himself a poster boy for that reform as one-sided as that reform was, and I regret it.
Well, I've got to get to a break, but I thank you for that. And when we come back around the break, I want to talk about that a little bit more. So we'll talk about that bankruptcy thing. And I got some audio from Rudy Giuliani and Bill O'Reilly and Rush Limbaugh coming up soon on the Russ Belville Show.
This is the Russ Belville Show, the winner of America's search for the next great progressive talk radio star. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Will you pledge that by January 2013, there will be no U.S. troops in Iraq?
I think it's hard to project.
It is very difficult to know what we're going to be inheriting.
I cannot make that commitment.
It's just unbelievable that our Democratic candidates think they can't get us out of Iraq within 5 years. It seems to me, it just seems to me like the Democrats really don't want to get out of Iraq. I mean, I just don't understand the tactics here. First of all, you had Nancy Pelosi coming in and saying impeachment was off the table, right? So you take away the biggest stick, the biggest weapon in the arsenal, the constitutionally mandated process by which we hold a president accountable is taken off the table. Then Pelosi comes out and says, well, we will never vote to not fund our troops. Which plays right into that GOP talking point, plays right into that talking point of somehow if we cut off funding for the war, the troops will be out there in the field and suddenly they'll have no weapons and they'll have no support and they'll just be sitting ducks, which is kind of where they're at right now, but yeah, which is a complete falsehood. Okay, the way that these appropriations bills go is that, you know, there's money in the pipeline while they're appropriating funds. And the money has already been appropriated up through the end of Bush's term. Okay, so the troops are completely funded through the end of 2008, right? So if we don't appropriate any more money for them, then Bush has got until the end of his term to get them home. And of course, he'll say, oh, the Democrats are, you know, holding our troops hostage. And then it would be up to the Democrats to say, no, Mr. President, you're holding the troops hostage. You're the one who keeps saying, give us money or I'll let them stay out here without any funds. I'll let them stay out here. It's time to bring the troops home. And I want to go to the phones on this and get your opinions. I've got Chuck in Beaverton on the line. Chuck, welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Hello, Russ.
How are you doing?
Fine. And I know you're not going to like this, and I know many of these diehard leftists, and I'm not saying you are, but I'm talking about other people who are diehard leftists. The reality is it's a mess in Iraq, and if the people running for the Democratic nomination thought that the majority of the American people wanted us to cut and run, they would be for it. And I think what you fail to understand, and most of the hosts on Air America fail to understand, is most of the American people aren't thinking what you're thinking on, in many areas, and this is a good example. That's why they're not committing to getting out.
Okay, now that's an interesting point. First, let me ask this. Cut and run from what?
Cut and run from the chaos there.
Why would you want to stay in chaos?
It's an occupation. Let's call it an occupation.
Let's
run from the occupation.
And what's the problem with that?
I'm telling you, I think there'd be fallout over the period of years as a result of that, and I don't think it would be good for the Middle East, and I don't think it would be good for the world in general.
Okay.
Now, you can disagree with that, but that's the reality.
Okay, I do, and I actually, believe it or not, Chuck, I actually do see your point in a sense. I do see your point in the fact that there are some Americans who see war as some sort of game, some sort of sport, and that we might lose if we leave. My relatives back in Idaho, talking to them.
You're discounting the issue. I'm telling you, we're not, people like myself don't consider it a sport. We don't consider it a good deal for big business. And the military-industrial complex, we're talking about the reality of the situation.
Yeah, the reality of the situation is we went in there and completely destroyed
right,
a country.
I'm not disagreeing with that,
okay.
But I'm telling you, the left is basically acting like young teenagers, girls who want some sweaters, and they want it now, and because no one else agrees with them, and they're flabbergasted. Well, guess what? The people who are running for the Democratic nomination don't agree, and I believe most of the American people don't agree with your stand, and I believe that you guys don't understand that. That's why.
Well, I'm afraid, Chuck, you're wrong. The polls have shown that 67% of the American people are behind ending the Iraq war, and a large majority of them within the next 6 months.
Now, do you believe that that's what the Democratic candidates believe?
No, I think the Democratic candidates listen to the people in the Washington punditocracy, and they're so insulated in the Beltway that they don't know what the American people really are thinking about this war.
Now, okay, then you can explain it away, and I don't care about the polls to a certain extent. I don't trust polls for one thing, because I've been asked, to be on, people have called and they've asked me questions, and it's a bunch of gibberish for the most part of the polls that I've been asked. So I believe you can twist the way you word things. Like you've talked about push polls and that. I'm not saying that these national sponsored polls were push polls, but you can get out of a poll what you want by the way you ask the questions and the order they're asked in.
Okay,
so
let's disconnect. Let's do this, Chuck. Thank you for your call. I appreciate that. Got to get to some other people. Let me just put this out to the listeners then. What do you think about what Chuck's saying there? Am I off base on this? Are the American people really wanting to stay in Iraq? Have I missed something? Did I miss a memo or something? I mean, what I've seen and what I was trying to say about my relatives back in Idaho, especially my older relatives, I went back and visited, and of course, very, very conservative folks. And I remember one of my great aunts talking about this and saying, we're not going to let them give up the fight like they did in Vietnam. We got to stay and win. And it's like as if there's something to win. We don't have anything to win in Iraq. This idea that we're going to stay there and somehow turn it into this flowering beacon of democracy throughout the Middle East is, if it's at all possible, it's only possible if we're not there. The fact that we're there is what's causing the problem. That's what the people of Iraq are upset about, is about having an occupying force in their country. They've taken the polls in Iraq there and shown that the people believe by a large, overwhelming majority, I think it was over 70% or 80%, where they said attacks on American troops are justified. That the people of Iraq are all for shooting our troops. And we're in the middle of a civil war. I just don't understand. I just don't understand these people who say, we don't want to cut and run. You know who the biggest cut and runner was? Ronald Reagan was the biggest cut and runner. He had our troops over there in Lebanon trying to meddle in the Middle East once again. And when the Marine barracks were bombed in 1983 and over 200 Marines lost their lives, Reagan went, ooh, Middle East. Not a good idea. Let's get out. And he cut and run. He took our troops out of Lebanon. One of the few things that I can praise Ronald Reagan about was actually having some sense about not meddling in the Middle Eastern affairs like that. We cannot impose democracy at the barrel of a gun. Now, if you agree or disagree with Chuck or me, please give me a call. The phone number here is 866-5577-377. I want to cover some of the other things from this debate. This was the vote that just was taken on Iran, the Lieberman-Kyle Amendment that passed with Democratic support. Passed with Democratic support, declaring Iran to be Iran's Revolutionary Guard to be a terrorist organization. This is Mike Gravel.
There was a vote in the Senate today. Joe Lieberman, who authored the Iraq resolution, has authored another resolution, and it is essentially a fig leaf to let George Bush go to war with Iran. And I want to congratulate Biden for voting against it, Dodd for voting against it, and I'm ashamed of you, Hillary, for voting for it. You're not going to get another shot at this.
Yeah, not getting another shot. Now, Hillary, and Gravel is standing right next to her, right? He's right in her face saying, I'm ashamed of you for voting for this, for not seeing it for the cover that it is to begin this next war, this war with Iran. And John Edwards, to his credit, also had to comment on this. And we'll cover that when we get back from the break. But I tell you, if I hear much more of this, that seems to be Hillary's latest reaction to anybody who criticizes her, is to bring up the little Hillary laugh there and dismiss the people that disagree with her as being silly, as being worthy of laughter and derision. When we come back, we're going to take a look at that. It's 42 after the hour. I'm Radical Russ.
You're tuned to the Russ Belville Show, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Oh, welcome back to the program. This is Radical Russ. Hey, talking about this Democratic debate again, and specifically the vote on the Lieberman-Kyle Amendment. Now, this was the amendment that was put together by, you know, Joe Lieberman, the Connecticut for Lieberman Center senator from Connecticut, you know, the traitor Democrat. Traitor to the Democratic Party, not a traitor to America necessarily. That remains to be seen. But, yeah, he proposed this amendment along with John Kyle, the Republican from Arizona, that designated the Iran Revolutionary Guard as a terrorist organization. And this is just the first step toward giving George Bush all the authority he wants to go into Iran. And to his credit, John Edwards has called the bluff.
I voted for this war in Iraq, and I was wrong to vote for this war. And I accept responsibility for that. Senator Clinton also voted for this war. We learned a very different lesson from that. I have no intention of giving George Bush the authority to take the first step on a road to war with Iran. What I learned in my vote on Iraq was you cannot give this president the authority, and you can't even give him the first step in that authority because he cannot be trusted.
Cannot be trusted. Thank you, John Edwards. You win the Radical Russ Nail on the Head Award today. That's absolutely right. You cannot trust this president. And that's the thing I've had, the problem I've had with Hillary Clinton for a long time, is her vote for the original Iraq War tells me that she didn't have enough sense to realize that exactly what John Edwards said, that this president can't be trusted. Now, maybe you could make a case that it was back in 2002, we didn't know exactly what was happening, and a mistake was made. But when a mistake is made, you got to own up to it, like John Edwards did. You got to say, this was a mistake to vote for this war. Hillary keeps coming back and saying, well, you know, what we knew then and with the information I was given, and I think Bill Maher a couple weeks ago was absolutely right when he said, you know, you were fooled by George W. Bush. Why should we vote for anyone who was fooled by George W. Bush? Yeah, laugh all you want, Hillary. Nobody should be voting for someone who was fooled by George W. Bush. Now, I want to cover some other stories here before we run out of time. As usual, got 5 hours of content and 2 hours of show. We'll see what we can do about that. Send me an email at radicalruss@gmail.com or make a comment out there to KPOJ at 620kpoj.com and let them know you want more of the Russ Belville show. We'll see if we can't move some of the other weekend shows around and get me some more time. That might be some fun, huh? So I also want to talk about some of our right-wingers here. The amazing thing to me here is how the Democrats are in charge. You know, they run in the House, they run the Senate, they're in charge, and they continue to let the Republicans win the PR battles, the public relations battles, by not sticking to our guns and not playing hardball like the Republicans would. First thing, Harry Reid, the Senate majority leader, in charge of the Senate, has had this deal with the Senate Republicans to say they wouldn't move forward on any Iraq resolutions, any Iraq laws, bills, without 60 votes of support. Right? He's saying we're not going to go forward with any debate if there's not 60 votes to pass it. That is, if there's not enough votes to break a filibuster, to break, you know, to vote for cloture, which is basically giving the Republicans all of the ammunition they need without forcing them to make any sacrifices. I mean, first of all, the GOP successfully blocked the Webb Amendment from Jim Webb of Virginia. This was the amendment that would have given the troops, it would have required that the troops have as much time at home as they have on the battlefield. Now, you know that they recently raised the tours from 12 months to 15 months, right? But they didn't raise the time off from 12 months to 15 months. So we got these soldiers who are just getting worn to the nubs here, getting worn out, and psychologically they need that time off. And your support the troops Republicans wouldn't give it to them. And the GOP also helped to fight against habeas corpus being restored. You know, the right of habeas corpus, something that's been with us in English common law since 1215, something that's darn near 800 years old. They decided, habeas corpus, you know, don't need it. And the GOP also fought against the District of Columbia getting voting rights. And all of this Republican obstructionism gets to happen without any spotlight on it because Harry Reid won't make them filibuster, won't make them be staying up all night and being in front of those cameras telling the American people why the troops shouldn't get rest, why American citizens shouldn't have habeas corpus, why the people of the District of Columbia don't deserve representation. Get those guys to filibuster. Make them put their ass on the line. Make the American people know who is holding up the people's business. 51 After. I'll be right back.
You're tuned to the Russ Belville Show. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
We're on a mission from God.
Don't you blaspheme in here! Don't you blaspheme in here!
That's right, Radical Russ here on a mission from God to bring common sense liberalism to the masses. Gosh, you know, I spent all this time hammering away at the Democrats because, you know, I'm kind of disappointed in our Democratic Party lately. And here I'm left with only, 3 minutes here to hammer on some Republicans. So let's get into it. Let's get into the speed round. I want to talk a little bit about this General Petraeus ad. The Democrats, 22 Democrats joined with the Republicans in Congress to have a resolution to condemn them, the liberal group MoveOn.org, for putting out an ad about General Petraeus that said, General Petraeus or General Betray Us. And this was the big story last week. Everybody was all up in arms. How dare you criticize a man in uniform? How dare you call into question the integrity of our armed forces? And of course, you know, even President Bush had to weigh in on this.
I thought the ad was disgusting. And I felt like the ad was an attack not only on General Petraeus, but on the U.S. military.
So two things about this. First of all, for George Bush to be standing up there and talking about disgusting attacks on our military, when the Swift Boat veterans were attacking John Kerry, when the Republican conventioners were wearing purple band-aids to mock his service in Vietnam, when they smeared Saxby Chambliss's guy. Who's the other guy? McClellan. When they smeared a Vietnam vet who lost three limbs in Vietnam, and they smeared him, and they tried to make him sound like he was Osama bin Laden somehow. For him to have the gall to come up and complain about someone criticizing the military is just insane. And the other side of this, Harry Reid, what are you doing letting this come to a vote in the first place? Giving the Republicans more ammunition to call those of us who oppose this war, that dissent against this war, to call us unpatriotic. It's just sick that you let this happen. Come on, get some control there. We're in charge, remember? Now, the other one I want to cover here is from Rush Limbaugh, you know, talking about supporting the troops, right? Here's Rush Limbaugh from his show the other day on how he supports the troops that disagree with the war.
They like to pull these soldiers to come up out of the blue and stop the media.
The phony soldiers.
If you talk to a real soldier, they're proud to serve. They want to be over in Iraq. They understand their sacrifice, and they're willing to sacrifice for the country.
They joined to be in Iraq.
Yeah, so Rush Limbaugh is calling them phony soldiers. Phony soldiers if you oppose the war. Of course, these are the people that actually went to war, that didn't sit out of a war because they had some sort of polynoidal cyst on their butt. Yeah, that's how Rush Limbaugh got out of Vietnam. He had a cyst on his butt. Kind of appropriate, don't you think? Well, once again, we're all out of time here at the Russ Belville Show, the home for truly radical progressives. We'll be back on the air next week at this same time. If you like what you're hearing, send me an email, radicalruss@gmail.com. Also, don't forget to call your Congress. It's 202-225-3121. That's 202-225-3121. Call your Congress and tell them, get out of Iraq already. Stand up and be the leadership party. I'm Radical Russ. See you next week.